Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cervi, Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival. Today was the opening day of the Giornate degli Autori with the film Samui Song, and we are here with us, the cast, part of the cast of the film, which is Vitaya Pansingharm, David Azavanand, and Stefan Sednoawi. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello. Good afternoon.
So, you are the three men that work around this female character that manipulates. She is a victim and a manipulator at the same time in the movie. So, Vitaya, you are like the key, role around of this, of the life of this woman. You play like this Buddhist monk, which we don't know exactly if he's a good man or a bad one. It's like kind of weird, and you are like the personification of the problem of the cult that cult that raised in all over the world, basically. So how do you prepare yourself to be this kind of shady man?
When I first received the script from Ben A. Ratanarayan, the director, I asked myself the same question: how could I make people believe in what I'm telling them? Right? And when they believe, how can I control the people who believe me? So I went through a lot of studies. I went through a lot of readings, the documentary, and then I surprised myself that when people trust you, whatever you ask them to do,
they do it.
They do it. So you have to, beside the idea of, you know, making people believe, the character, the posture, the voice, it has to come as a package that when people look at you, they feel that, oh, you're the one that they want to follow. And that's what the key for me is, that I do a lot of studies before we start filming.
Basically, you create a devotion. You create a figure that makes them be devoted to you.
Correct. Even
regardless what you do, what you say, who you are.
And even when the character doesn't say any word, you can feel the aura. You can feel the energy. You know. At the same time, he's just a typical ordinary guy who put on his gray suit and just
pretend to be something.
That's
else.
Correct. Yeah. That's correct.
And actually, the end of the film that we cannot reveal here because it's not, we don't want to spoil it, but it's really strange compared to what we expect, because we don't expect your character to end as it is going to end. How was the reaction of the people in the screening about the ending? Because the ending was, when we talked with Penek this morning, he was kind of concerned about that.
You know, interesting enough, I saw the film for the first time myself, and I tried to see the film from the audience point of view, not from the cast point of view. I don't know why, but when the film finished, I feel very emotional. I feel that I was involved with all the character in the film. I feel that it's all the character make me believe in the film. And even though the ending is very abstract, I could put that way, or very unusual, I think people who if they follow the story well and they try to use their imagination along, when it would be very entertaining if the audience really got into it. And that's all I can say. I can say that much. If you really get into it, the ending is even more interesting. And then maybe you have to create your own belief also in the film that, oh, you know, this has happened. Maybe this has happened. So it's play with the audience mind in terms of just feeding the whole thing in. So it does, that make this become more of the cinema than just a typical movie.
I understand. Stefan, you play the character of the husband of this woman, and you are a true believer. You believe in this man, that is.
To this day. I slept in front of his bedroom last night.
You see?
So to be sure everything was, you know, like I'm totally...
were saying that it's... how can you justify your character's choices of being so true to this man, believe in this man so much that he basically offered his wife to him? Because your character is the typical representation of what we were talking earlier.
In the script, it was a bit different. He's a victim on every side, so he does not make any decision, and he would not make such a decision. Mm-hmm. So it's the ambiguity. Pen Eck preferred to keep it as something ambiguous. But me, I don't decide for anything. If I had decided that, in a way, I will control a little bit something. I do not control anything in the movie. I'm a loser. So it was not like really how I believe in the guru. It was more like how much of a loser I have in me to really portray that character. And it was scary because I really felt I was on a sliding, sliding...
roller coaster?
Yeah, roller coaster, like going down and becoming, feeling more and more of a loser, you know, like you refer to, especially me, I'm not an actor, so, but anyway, actors, that's what they do, but I'm not an actor, so I was referring to all the loser side of me in my relations, and how I've been a loser. And then I was like, so sometimes it was like perfect, I was like, so it was so scary.
So basically you did understand something more about yourself, digging that much.
I saw myself in the mirror, and I was like, oh, yo, I don't want to go that way, you know. I have to really, voilà. So it was an interesting experience. On that side, it was interesting. On being an actor, which I had an experience before, but not professional. So it was also very interesting seeing a director being able to have such a great position to see how a movie director, like feature films direct, was also very exciting for me. Overall, and also like seeing like a cast of characters that are so different in nature, not just by their characters in the movie, but their personality and where they come from, their stories are so different. So it was like a cast they were not matching, and it was very interesting also for that to see how a director controls the situation with such a different range of
people.
It's not like a Hollywood movie with Hollywood actors that probably knows each other for years and have done many movies. You know, it was really like a cast from many, many...
Also a job to create the right atmosphere so that everybody can fit in.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I have today, I have asking one question to David, because you are the bad guy, mainly the bad guy. And even if we know that your reasons to be a bad guy are the good ones, but you are still have a bad guy that are used by this woman to make a crime that she doesn't want anymore. But then the crime has been done, so it's nothing to do. And your character then appear again towards the end of the movie with a very strong sequence that we don't expect.
Right.
Whether it is you find this woman again and you try to kill her, and there is this like a burst of violence in the movie that was very graphic and very powerful. Mm-hmm. And was it very difficult to shoot? Because this is actually what I was thinking is how actors can shoot such a scene,
right,
and still be believable, not being like some action movie,
some crazy lunatic. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Oh, did you buy my bit? Did you buy that scene where?
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah, you saw it.
Oh yeah,
you were convinced.
I was.
Then my job is done.
You're done. So how did you do it? This is my question.
I don't know. It's just, you know, because I can't really go into the story without giving it away. So I really can't, but. I think, you know, people have their dark side. I think, you know, people do, whether they admit it or not, it's a different story. But, you know, I certainly have a dark side that I'm very much in touch with. And I think that's what I use when I need to be in a scene where violence is needed, is necessary, then I get in touch with that. But then, you know, there's this... In the story, there's something that happened that makes my character want, I don't want to give anything away, but he wants vengeance. He wants revenge in a way. So,
yeah, but the revenge is so rough.
Right, and you know why, though. You know why. See, I can't give that. I can't even say it. But there's a reason why, you know, if somebody kills your dog, for example, and you love that dog so much, you're going to have that rage.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to want to take revenge on that person. So that is what, you know.
But to me, the strong side of it was that the action, this revenge was, this violence, and this revenge was against a woman.
Yeah.
And even she did what she did, but she was still a woman.
Yeah, but she was, of course, it doesn't matter what sex you are. You can be a man or a woman, but if you have an evil nature, then you're still a human. You're still a person. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, I think that the society shuns on any violence being done to women. And I certainly, you know, I disagree with any kind of form of violence being performed on anyone, anybody, man or woman. But yeah, it's even more shocking when it's performed on a woman, of course, because of the social norms and what we've been socialized into believing. Mm-hmm. But again, I cannot say anything, but this woman took something very dear away from my character.
Yeah, yeah.
That justifies why he was doing what we cannot graphically describe was doing to her. Yeah.
Okay, so as we cannot give that much away of the film, we have to stop here.
Yeah, sure.
In order not to spoil it.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot to Vitaya Pansingarm, David Azavanon, and Stefan Sednaoui for having been with us.
Yeah.
Cast of Samui's Song that was opening in the Giornata di Autore today here in Venice. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.